forward this to the computer and Winmore. They moved my recording. Here we go. Over to the cloud. I found it. Okay, y'all. Keep removing my menu items so I can't find them. All right, allow here. I got live stream there. I've got one more. Okay, y'all, we're ready to go. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight you got a real treat coming. This is the paper on 170, The Kingdom of Heaven, and this is on the concepts of the Kingdom of Heaven. This is a wonderful paper. Last time I did it was quite a while back, I think 2019, but it's just such a good paper. And that's on page 1858. Of the original book, or 170.01, and the rest. And let's change this. All right, I got something in the way here. Okay, we're ready to go. Paper 170, The Kingdom of Heaven. Saturday afternoon, March 11th, Jesus preached his last sermon at Pella. This was among the notable addresses of his public ministry, embracing a full and complete discussion of the kingdom of heaven. He was aware of the confusion which existed in the minds of his apostles and disciples regarding the meaning and significance of the terms kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, which he used as interchangeable designations of his bestowal mission. Although the very term kingdom of heaven should have been enough to separate what it stood for from all connection with earthly kingdoms and temporal governments, it was not. The idea of a temporal king was too deep-rooted in the Jewish mind thus to be dislodged in a single generation. Therefore, Jesus did not at first openly oppose this long-nourished concept of the kingdom. Now, let me kind of explain what they're talking about here. The Jewish concept of the kingdom of God was a earthly kingdom led by a king on a throne. Okay. And what they thought was going to happen was there was going to be this Messiah that come and assume this thronely king, kingdom. And become leader of the world. And this persisted not only during this period of time, but shortly after Jesus died, Paul the Apostle kind of instilled this same concept that Jesus was coming back again and he was going to bring in this age of a godly kingdom and that Jesus would be the head of that kingdom. All right, so all this stuff in the book of Revelation, which we interpret as the second coming of Jesus, was attached to this kingdom idea. Okay. And Jesus never, ever taught that. He said he would come again, but he didn't, he never said that he would assume a throne in a kingdom of physical stability, stabilizing the world into this world kingdom of spiritual brotherhood. That's not what he was teaching. His concept was a kingdom of heaven in which God is your father, and we are all part of this kingdom, of the spiritual kingdom. And to be part of the spiritual kingdom, all we needed to do is believe in God the Father, and of course, Jesus as his son. And so this kingdom that Jesus was talking about was in the hearts of men because of the thought adjuster. Okay, so this whole kingdom is based upon a personal thought adjuster and our relationship with God the Father and our relationship with our brothers and sisters. The church was never the concept of the kingdom of heaven. I want to bring that up at the beginning here so that we're all on the same page. So this concept of the temporal king that's deep-rooted in the Jewish mind they're talking about is not the concept Jesus was trying to relate, was it? Okay. He was basically trying to dislodge this in the Jewish mind and later on in the pagan minds, because they had the same sort of idea that Jesus was going to come back as this king to take over the world. Now, the problem is this: with Paul the Apostle and Paul's teaching, what the church did is assume that this was going to be the case. The kingdom of God would not come until Jesus came again, and the kingdom of God was already here in the hearts of man. And that's the point I want to make about this very first paragraph to starting out. Now, Jesus is going to break this down in great detail in this paper. This is just such a wonderful paper. If you haven't done so, you need to read this multiple times, and you'll see it'll start sinking in what he's trying to say. All right, Diane, you want to give it a try?
This Sabbath afternoon, the master sought to
To clarify
clarify
the
the
teaching
teaching
about
about
the
the
kingdom
kingdom
of
of heaven.
heaven.
He
He
discussed
discussed
the
the subject
subject
from which,
from
from
every
every viewpoint
viewpoint
and
and
endeavored
endeavor
to
to
make
make
clear
clear
the
the
many
many
different
different
senses
senses
in
in
which
which
the
the
term
term
had
had
been
been
used.
used.
In
In this
this
narrative,
narrative,
we
we
will
will
amplify
amplify
the
the
address
address
by
by
adding
adding
numerous
numerous
statements
statements
made
made
by
by
Jesus
Jesus
on
on
previous
previous
occasions
occasions
and
and
by
by
including
including
some
some
remarks
remarks
made
made
only
only
to
to
the
the
apostles
apostles
during
during
the
the
evening
evening
discussions
discussions
of
of
the
the
same
same
day.
day.
We
We
will
will
also
also
make
make
certain
certain
comments
comments
dealing
dealing
with
with
the
the
subsequently
subsequently
outworking
outworking
of
of
the
the
kingdom
kingdom
idea
idea
as
as
it
it
is
is
related
related
in
in
the
the
ladder
ladder
of
of
Christian
Christian
church.
church.
So
Jesus
Jesus
is
is
going
going
to
to
break
break
this
this
down
down
into
into
great
great
detail,
detail,
isn't
isn't
he?
he?
Okay,
Okay,
so
so
to
to
try
try
to
to
make
make
us
us
understand,
understand,
and
and
the
the
revealers
revealers
of
of
this
this
paper
paper
at
at
the
the
near
near
the
the
end
end
of
of
this
this
paper
paper
even
even
go
go
into
into
great
great
detail
detail
how
how
the
the
later
later
Christian
Christian
church
church
had
had
their
their
concepts
concepts
of
of
this
this
and
and
how
how
where
where
we
we
went
went
wrong
wrong
with
with
this.
this.
Okay,
Okay,
they
they
literally
literally
say
say
we
we
went
went
the
the
wrong
wrong
direction,
direction,
basically.
basically.
All
All
right,
right,
hi
hi
Andrew.
Andrew.
Hey
Hey
Andrew.
Andrew.
Hello.
Hello. Let's see,
Hello.
Rodney, would you take the next one, please?
Yes.
Yes.
One,
One,
concepts
concepts
of
of
the
the
kingdom
kingdom
of
of
heaven
heaven
in
in
connection
connection
with
with
the
the
recital
recital
of
of
Jesus's
Jesus's
sermon.
sermon.
It
It
should
should
be
be
noted
noted
that
that
throughout
throughout
the
the
Hebrew
Hebrew
scriptures,
scriptures,
there
there
was
was
a
a
dual
dual
concept
concept
of
of
the
the
kingdom
kingdom
of
of
heaven.
heaven.
The
The
prophets
prophets
presented
presented
the
the
kingdom
kingdom
of
of
God
God
as.
as. Okay, so we're talking about two different concepts, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God here. Okay, so the Jews had a separate idea for both of these. All right. Let's see, Pam, would you take the next one?
One, a present reality, and as two, a future hope when the kingdom would be realized in fullness upon the appearance of the Messiah. This is the kingdom concept which John the Baptist taught. From the very first, Jesus and the apostles taught both of these concepts. There were two other ideas of the kingdom which should be borne in mind. Three, the later Jewish concept of a worldwide and
Transcendental.
transcendental kingdom of supernatural origin and miraculous inauguration. Four, the Persian teachings portraying the establishment of a divine kingdom as the achievement of the triumph of good over evil at the end of the world.
Okay, with y'all's permission, I'm going to break these down at the beginning. Okay, and it's going to take longer to do it this way, but I want everybody to have these concepts separate. Number one, this is kind of confusing because when you read this, it just says the present reality and as. You see that? It just stops the sentence right in the middle, goes to two. So it's got you think, and as what? Right? Right. So it's going on to the next sentence. But I want to hit the first one too, a present reality, the concept that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is a present reality, which is what Jesus taught always. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is within us and it goes on all the time. It's never not been there. Okay. So that's the present reality concept. All right. Then the second one on this is a future hope. And the Jews believed, and John the Baptist believed, being a Jew too, believed the same thing, that the kingdom would be realized in fullness upon the appearance of the Messiah. Now, his concept, John the Baptist's concept, was that Jesus was the Messiah. Okay. But he still felt that the kingdom of God was not here yet, but it was to come in the future. You see the difference? Not a present reality. Does that make sense? So John's concept was it was something coming instead of Jesus's concept. What Jesus taught is it's here now and it's in reality part of your lives right now. Soon as you accept God in your life, you become part of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Okay? So those are two totally different concepts. All right. And you'll notice here in the next paragraph, it tells us that Jesus and the apostles taught both of these concepts, but there was already two other concepts that should be borne in mind when you're talking about this. Okay. And the first one was the Jewish concept of a worldwide transcendental kingdom. In other words, it encompasses all beings of a supernatural origin and a miraculous inauguration. In other words, this is going to be a supernatural, original, miraculous happening that's going to happen in the future. Does that make sense? And that was the Jewish concept. And that's pretty much what John the Baptist believed. Okay. And then the Persian teachings portrayed it as an establishment of a kingdom as good overcomes evil at the end of the world. Now, what happens is Paul the Apostle takes this concept and turns it into the concept of the end of the world's coming, and Jesus is going to come back and take over everything, and that's when the kingdom of God will start. You see that? You see the difference between the four?
Yes.
And so these are all different concepts of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, which one everyone you want to plug into it. Any questions about any of these?
No.
Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, that's a good explanation. I'm trying to read ahead in the papers, but yeah, that concept of already but not yet is a very like normal Christian teaching, but
Even today, right? Okay.
wouldn't the idea though that the kingdom is expanding and growing be in your Urantia, just as it what is in Christianity about like the mustard seed growing and it developing, and even the idea that these evolutionary worlds are going through these, I think, seven transition phases ultimately to light and life,
Right.
which I think means like sin, corruption, evil is way less common, even though it's still possible. It's
But
just,
it's almost going to disappear, right?
yeah, it's almost going to disappear. So that kind of is the idea that the kingdom is becoming a greater reality in more people's heart and spirit. So it is growing, but it's still just within you.
And you're absolutely right, because Jesus teaches in his teachings on this that the kingdom is already here within us, right? The brotherhood of God, the fatherhood of God, and the brotherhood of man. But he also teaches as we get closer to light and life, then evil will have less of a sting in the world because of this acceptance of spiritual values, the evil will almost just completely disappear, right? So both concepts are correct. Okay. And the Urantia book teaches both concepts as being correct also. So, in other words, we're not even close to being perfect now.
But I would say, just from my personal experience, I think a lot of Christians miss that Jesus says in the Gospels, the kingdom is not like you don't go here to look at it or look over there and find it. It's within you. He says
Within.
it very clearly in scripture, but
Yes.
that's like too mystical of a saying for the average Christian to accept. And
Correct.
so, yeah, I feel like that went over a lot of people's heads, or they didn't even, I won't accept it.
They not only didn't acknowledge it, they didn't accept it either, you know. Because really, if you think about it, because we're going to learn this in this paper, but if you think about it, when you adopt a spiritual life, when your whole existence is trying to do the will of God, you start to learn, you start to live a spiritual life on top of a material existence. Your material life gets so it's not important anymore, right? And your spiritual life becomes number one in you. So because your spiritual life becomes number one and you're constantly trying to do the will of God, the will of the Father in your life, you end up putting out spiritual fruits constantly. And you do that by interacting with your brothers and sisters and loving them, forgiving them, and that sort of thing. Because your spiritual life makes a turn into this more idealistic life as your physical life goes on, you put out more spiritual fruits, and so your whole existence becomes more spiritual. And so you build more stuff in your soul so that when you wake up on the mansion world, you're much more spiritual. Okay? Does that make sense? Wow, Roger, where'd you get that from? Okay, here we go. Next one. Pam, I think you're up, aren't you? Did you just
Oh,
read?
she just read. It's my turn.
Okay, Gary, you read this one.
Just before the advent of Jesus on earth, the Jews combined and confused all of these ideas of the kingdom into their apocalyptic concept of the Messiah's coming to establish the age of the Jewish triumph, the eternal age of God's supreme rule on earth, the new world, the era in which all mankind would worship Yahweh. In choosing to utilize this concept of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus elected to appropriate the most vital and culminating heritage of both the Jewish and the Persian religions.
Okay, what are they talking about? Their apocalyptic concept, do y'all think?
The end of the world.
The end of the world. The Christians have done the same thing, have they not?
Of course.
Every constantly, Christians and non-Christians are looking to what? The end of the world. It's an apocalyptic concept. And everyone believes that when this happened, Jesus is going to come back. Everybody attaches this apocalyptic concept of the end of the world to Jesus returning and setting up God's supreme rule on earth, correct? That's the Christian thought. That's the Jewish thought. I'm going to tell you here tonight, right now, neither one of them are correct. Well, are you crazy? Yeah, I'm crazy because Jesus never associated any kind of apocalyptic end of the world with him returning. He never said that once anywhere. Okay. It's in the New Testament because of the book of Revelation, right? That's where it is in the book of Revelation. So Paul taught these concepts. And so John Zebedee picked it up when he wrote the book of Revelation, that it was attached to this end of the world scenario. Okay. So I'm going to tell you here now, that's not the case. If the world ends for some reason, there's plans to relocate everybody on this planet into another existence, and we'll just keep going on just like we are now. But if we're smart enough, we will keep that scenario from ever coming into existence, and we will automatically become more spiritual through time. And will reach the age of light and life. And Jesus may wait until the age of the light and life before he ever comes back, right? He's promised to come back, so we know he'll come back at some time, but it probably ha will have nothing to do with any kind of apocalypse whatsoever. Okay? And that's a hard pill to swallow because lots of millions of books have been sold about how the end of the world's coming and then Jesus is going to take over, right?
You know what I don't understand is you mentioned the book of Revelation, which is the only book that is so confusing, and I don't know of anybody that knows what it means.
I do.
Well,
I keep threatening to teach a class on, it'd be multiple classes on the book of Revelation because it does, some of it does make sense. And they explain throughout the Urantia book about the parts that does, what is some of the parts of the Urantia book, but it's spread throughout the book. There's no one place you can go in the Urantia book and it explains the whole thing. Okay. And unless you've read the whole thing and picked and choose out of those specific passages, you can't understand what the heck the book of Revelation is about. But I feel like I understand it totally now because I've studied it so many years, right? I studied the book of Revelation and I studied the Urantia book. So you pick up these little truths in both of them. And some of them are just, and some things in the Book of Revelation are just confusing, and it says in the Urantia book places are confusing because they've confused the concepts that John was trying to relate. What John saw, he related in the times that he knew it, and he had no concept of how to relate. It's kind of like a good example is the UFO thing, right? When they talk about in the Old Testament, wheels of fire that people are traveling on and stuff. Those were probably UFOs, more than likely, you know, but they didn't know what they were. And so they explained it the best way they could. All
You
right.
may want to consider doing an explanation of the book of Revelation as one of your future projects.
It might be after we finish the book again. That might be something we could do.
Again, I'll be old as heck.
Well, no, this time's what I'm talking about. We're going to be done with this book by the end of the year this year.
You think I'll make
I
it?
think you'll make it. Now, whether I make it, so all right. Let's move on. Andrew, would you take the next one?
The kingdom of heaven, as it has been understood and misunderstood down through the centuries of the Christian era, embraced four distinct groups of ideas: the concept of the Jews, the concept of the Persians, the personal experience concept of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven within you, the composite and confused concepts which the founders and promulgators of Christianity have sought to impress upon the world.
Okay, is that pretty clear to y'all?
Yeah.
Shows how confused we've been down through the ages, right? So we had the original concept of the Jews to start out that, and then the concept of the Persians after that, right? And then Jesus comes along and tries to experience it, tries to explain to us that the kingdom of heaven is within us. The kingdom of heaven is nothing more than our relationship with God the Father and our relationship with our brothers and sisters, right? The fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, right?
The spiritual
The
relationship.
spiritual concept, right? And then we have Paul come along, and then we end up with the composite and confused concepts, which the founders and promulgators of Christianity, which followed Paul's rule, right, sought to impress upon the world. So this is where we get this end of the world scenario that everybody thinks the world's going to come to an end, and then Jesus is coming back. Okay. Now, to people out there listening on Facebook and YouTube and other places to this for the first time, they think, well, where's this guy getting this stuff from, right? This has been around for 2,000 years. You know, in other words, the concept of the kingdom of heaven being within you did not take hold in the early church, which it should have. Instead, they follow Paul's rule about the end of the world and then Jesus coming back, and that Jesus was the sacrifice for sin for everyone. Okay, so that's the difference we're talking about. It's the difference between the theology of Jesus and the theology of Paul. All right.
And Sorry, I don't know if you have touched on this, but I feel also that a lot of Christians just separate those two things entirely, that the kingdom of God can be understood as a concept of dealing with people in a spiritually moral way, choosing like the platinum rule of loving others as Jesus loved us, and you want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And then separately, there's this crazy book of Revelation that has a lot of dragons and demons and, Jesus on a horse with blood on his thigh or whatever. And that's a separate thing that he's coming a second time and his playing and he's going to kill everyone. And then the, city of Jerusalem descends from heaven
From
and all
heaven,
the people are in it. And those are the kingdom of heaven now. Is this separate way to act morally, unlike our US government? And then the end of the world is just a separate thing. So I feel like those are in two compartments in a lot of people's minds,
Oh
even though, yeah.
it's really it's hard to separate them because we've been taught that throughout our lives too, right? Pretty much, about the end of the world and what's coming and that sort of thing. And I get up here and say, you don't have to worry about the end of the world. If the world ends, you're going to the mansion worlds. What you worried about? What's the big deal? Are you that attached to this broken down old bodies of ours? I got news for you. When you get old, it gets worse and worse and worse, And so
Well,
there's nothing to look forward to in your body as you get older, but there's much to look forward to in your spiritual life as you go on.
if you've put $65,000 worth of plastic surgery on your face, you probably are really attached to your broken down little body.
That's true.
Want to keep it going.
Yeah, that's true. And pe people do it all the time, right? All the
That's
time.
like painting an old car and think it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's true. It still rusts through, doesn't it?
And the engine fails and transmission fails and
I'll tell you what,
heat
let me tell
pops
you a
the
place to
spring.
live, Key West. I lived down to Key West for 4 and a half, almost 5 years. And notice my palm tree in the back. Anyway, when I was living down in Key West, you could buy a brand new car, and within 2 years, it had rust popping through the
Oh,
paint.
I'm sure.
You know? So that's
Because
the
it's
way life
installed
is.
there.
It rusts and falls apart over time. That's the way our bodies do too. All right. At different times and in varying circumstances, it appears that Jesus may have presented numerous concepts of the kingdom in his public teachings, but to his apostles, he always taught the kingdom as embracing man's what?
Personal.
Personal experience in relation to his fellows on earth and to the Father in heaven. Concerning the kingdom, his last word always was, "The kingdom is within you." And that's the last word on the subject, isn't it? When it comes right down to it. Okay, the rest of it is all speculation and misinterpretation. All right. Let's see here. Diane, would you take the next one?
Centuries of confusion regarding the meaning of the term kingdom of heaven have been due to three factors. One, the confusion occasioned by observing the idea of the kingdom as it passed through the various progressive phases of its recasting by Jesus and his apostles. Two, the confusion which was inevitably associated with the transplantation of early Christianity from a Jewish to a Gentile soil. Three, the confusion which was inherent in the fact that Christianity became a religion which was organized about the central idea of Jesus's person. The gospel of the kingdom became more and more a religion about him.
Okay, now this is very confusing to someone who first starts reading the Urantia book, okay? The fact that the Urantia book takes the state of the story that's told in the New Testament about Jesus is a religion about him, not the theology and religion of Jesus. Okay. And that's a hard pill to swallow when you're first starting reading it. You can probably ask Andrew that, you know, he can probably tell you, you know, since he's a newer reader, you know, you read these things and you go, wait a minute, that's not the concept I had of Jesus at all. You know, what they present is totally a different concept, a different way to look at things. And this concept of the kingdom of heaven is the same thing. You notice they don't mince words here. They say the confusion occasioned by observing the idea of the kingdom. And that's exactly what it is, isn't it? It's confusion. All right. And the fact that some of this confusion came from the fact that this was transplanted from a Jewish soil to a Christianity soil. In other words, it started out a Jewish concept and they tried to revive it into a Christian concept. And then what even made it more confusing is then they took the idea of Jesus and his mission, the seventh bestowal, and transpose that from the seventh bestowal, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, to the fact that Jesus was crucified and the fact that Paul tried to convince everybody that he was the sacrifice for sin. Okay, that's where the real confusion comes from. And this was a real confusion because you had two different church groups starting, one in Philadelphia and one in Rome, or not Rome, in Jerusalem. That one of them believed that Christ died for everybody's sins, and the other believed that Jesus came as a seventh bestowal and to reveal the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, which is a totally different concept, right? So you can see where there's confusion there, just starting out. And that's why in the Urantia book, it points these things out multiple times throughout the story of Jesus. All right.
Can I defend the Christian church in a little bit, and I'm not saying it right.
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
My understanding, which is, you can put a lot of salt on what I say, as man's mind evolves, we cling to previous knowledge because we always build upon our previous knowledge. In this particular case, the evolution of the concept of Jesus and God is a natural progression to which the you know what was natural for Paul. He transferred his Jewish background into a Christian background and merged the two. The
Yes.
teachings of, you know, which is a normal process, okay?
It ends, and he also didn't have the opportunity, Gary, to be with Jesus to get the firsthand account, right?
Right. He was, in my opinion, a false apostle. He was a disciple.
He was a
Yeah,
disciple.
he was. You know, okay, that's just my thing, okay?
And that's how it got off course, right?
Okay, here's
The
another
12
one.
aside, the 12 apostles should have re-steered it back to the right direction,
Yeah,
is what should
his
have happened.
personality was stronger. And the emphasis of the ability with his concept to convert Jewish and lay people to the Christian thought was better because it fit more into the way the man's mind works. And also, nowhere in the where we've been studying what Jesus has said, has he related that this is my seventh bestowal, so I can be sovereign, complete sovereign of the universe.
He did teach that to the apostles, Gary.
Okay, then I stand corrected.
But he didn't teach that to the disciples. You're
That
right.
is, then we can understand why things happened the way they
They
did.
did. That's right. Andrew, you look like you're.
Yeah, I just want to say that yes, without a doubt, coming from 44 years of Christian education, teaching, and just thinking from that standpoint my entire life, that point number three is the hardest thing to get over.
Yeah.
that Christianity is this religion about Jesus, and that's not what he was teaching. And
Yes.
also, I mean, to be fair, at least in my understanding of Urantia, even though Jesus is not like part of Jesus, Michael is not part of the ultimate Trinity,
Right.
like the eternal Son, infinite Spirit, and the God the Father. He is one of the creator sons. He is the creator of this universe. He is the Lord. He does have full authority.
Right.
So, in a very real sense, the teachings of Urantia is a book, a religion, a whatever about Jesus, but the concept is very different. And it's just so comforting as a Christian. It made me think of when the Israelites screamed and screamed to get Saul as a king because everyone else had a king. They want someone big and tall and strong to go out before their enemies. And Isaiah was like, this is not what you should be doing, or Samuel, sorry, you should not be doing this. And they did it. But there's something comforting in Christianity when you can say the sinner's prayer. Jesus is the one that hung on the cross. He's the one in Revelation coming down, slaying everyone in the with the sword of his mouth. I just got to sit back and let him do the work. And this teaching of Urantia that the kingdom is within you, you have to choose to survive. You have to choose to pursue God in this relationship now and forevermore. That can be very daunting. It's much more comfortable and easy to sit back and be like, I said my prayer. I did my rosaries. I memorized my 10 Bible verses at Awana's. There's a reason that, you know.
Yeah, it's comfortable, right?
Yeah.
It's easy, it's comfortable. We don't like to do things that are not in our little boathouse, do we? We don't like to get out of our own little boathouse. We like to stay in there where it's comfortable, right?
Yep.
So it's a growing process, very big growing process. And remember, y'all, this has only been apparent since 1955. I know it was revealed in 1934 and 1935, but it's really not been out there until 1955. And even then, they only put out 10,000 copies of it. So it's not like it hit the world and everybody knew about it, right? Not at all. So that makes a big difference. It's just now coming into being known. And it's kind of funny that it took the internet age to get to the point where it is starting to be known, right? So
Maybe that has something to do with the timing of the revelation.
that probably was. Probably was. I can tell you one thing. You can take any book in the Urantia book and feed it into any of the AIs, Claude, ChatGPT, whatever, and it will, and ask it to give you a summary of what it says. It will give you a summary that is right, dead, spot on, right? So, that makes you wonder, doesn't it? Really does. So it just shows you the tools if we use them properly. It might benefit us in great amounts. So, okay. Gary, did you just read, right?
No, I didn't. I forgot who read
I
the.
am. It's my turn.
Oh, okay.
But I've got a question.
Yeah.
Why was Paul called an apostle?
He proclaimed himself an apostle.
What?
Yeah. Just like many of the churches out there, you'll see these guys on the internet and everywhere else call them something. I'm apostle such and such and such and such. They're self-proclaimed apostles, or they're proclaimed apostles by the hierarchy of their own particular church. Right?
Okay. Two.
Just to add to that, Rodney, you could call me a crazy person, right? Not an apostle, I'm a crazy person because I went out on a limb to teach this book that no one ever heard of, So what does that make me? When we had the church, when we started the church, I went as Reverend, remember that? Reverend Dr. Roger Paul. But I dropped that because we stopped the church. And so no, you can call me whatever you want to now. Crazy person, Roger Paul. So, anyway.
Do you realize that at this particular time with the Urantia book, we are could com be compared relatively to just after Jesus's death and
Yeah,
resurrection?
and in essence we are, and there's some wonderful things. There's some people doing some work on from the Urantia book that are just, I mean, it's amazing. This what's epic, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Andrew, what was the name of that website I sent you to?
Eureka Epic.
Eureka Epic. The videos that they're producing on this are from the book, and I mean to tell you, they're beautiful. They are just gorgeous, and they seem to be right on the money. So, as much as I've taught down through the years, even though my teaching is different, when you can see it in a format like that, you're living in an age that we're fortunate beyond belief. We really are, So, okay, let's go on, Rodney.
Okay. Two, Jesus's concept of the kingdom. The master made it clear that the kingdom of heaven must begin with and be centered in the dual concept of the truth of the fatherhood of God and the correlated fact of the brotherhood of man. The acceptance of such a teaching, Jesus declared, would liberate man from the age-long bondage of animal fear, and at the same time enrich human living with the following endowments of the new life of spiritual liberty.
Why do you think Jesus said it would liberate man from the bondage of animal fear?
I don't know.
You think maybe it might be that because you have a fragment of God within, and that all men and women are your brothers and sisters, means that you have nothing to fear in this life whatsoever because you will go on spiritually regardless of what happens, right?
Yeah.
So that should liberate you from animal fear of dying. That's the number one thing animals are afraid of, and the things that we were afraid of for hundreds of thousands of years. So our fear changes from the fear of dying to the realization that the endowments of a new spiritual life gives us liberty beyond anything we had ever had before.
You know, Roger, you just made old people the ones that should be feared the most in society.
Why is that, Gary?
Because, I'm 80 years old. Okay, how much more time do I have? 2 years, 3 years, a month, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe 15, I don't know. But I'm close to the end of my life. I know it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give up much if I sacrifice my life for something or,
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to lose much, but a
Yeah.
young person would lose an awful lot.
Yeah.
So
Well,
you
Gary, I
always
always thought it was backwards the way they did the military, because they should have sent just old people, because we're willing to go and die because we don't have that much longer anyway. Where the young people are holding on to their existence with both hands, trying to not to die. So, if you sent just older people into battle, think about it this way. They would be willing to take chances that the young people will not, right?
Well, no, I think you're wrong because as you get older, the young person thinks he's invincible. So when they say charge, he goes over the hill and does the best he can.
You're right about
When you
that.
get about 40, 45, the officer will say charge, and you'll look at him and say, after you, sir.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, so let's go on to the next one. Pam, would you take the next one?
One, the possession of new courage and augmented spiritual power. The gospel of the kingdom was to set man free and inspire him to dare to hope for eternal life. Two, the gospel carried a message of new confidence and true
Consolation.
consolation for all men, even for the poor. Three, it was in itself a new standard of moral values, a new ethical yardstick wherewith to measure human conduct. It portrayed the ideal of a resultant new order of human society. Four, it taught the preeminence of the spiritual compared with the material. It glorified spiritual realities and exalted superhuman ideals. Five, this new gospel held up spiritual attainment as the true goal of living. Human life received it, received a new endowment of moral value and divine dignity. Six, Jesus taught that eternal realities were the result, reward, of righteous earthly striving. Man's mortal sojourn on earth acquired, sorry,
new meanings.
New meanings consequent upon the recognition of a noble destiny. And seven, the new gospel affirmed that human salvation is the revelation of a far-reaching divine purpose to be fulfilled and realized in the future destiny of the endless service of the salvaged sons of God.
So, in essence, salvation was the result, okay, of endless service of the salvaged sons of God. So your own salvation was wrapped up in you doing things for other. Now, let me give you a good example of this. All religions have some form of what? The golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do to you, right? And that is pretty much the basis for almost all religions. Not just Christianity, not Jews, not just not Gentiles, not just all of them have that same thing. So what Jesus was trying to do, he was trying to not set up a uplifted moral value, okay, to measure against anymore. He was trying to set up the ideal of a value that would result in an order of human society that would be unlike anything that had ever come before. Okay, so what he was doing was new. It was revolutionary, and things would never be the same if everyone grasps hold of this concept of eternal life and service to one fellow man. Okay. Also, it says here in number four, it says it taught the preeminence of spiritual compared to the material. So it basically told us that the spiritual life was very important and the material life meant nothing, in essence. Okay. Basically. All right. So these spiritual realities gave us exalted superhuman ideals to work from. All right. And this one really gets me. It says number five here, the new gospel set up spiritual attainment. You see that? As the true goal of living. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone asks you, what's the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? To do the will of the Paradise Father. Because it is, by doing the will of the Paradise Father, you tap into that spiritual attainment that is unavailable doing anything else. Do you follow me? By doing the will of God.
I have a question.
Yes.
So you said in, I think, number seven, I think you said the word salvation is tied up with the endless service of the salvaged sons of God.
Yes.
Can you explain salvation? Because again, from the Christian thing, one thing I always say to like my small group and whatever is the difference in Christianity, unlike all other world religions, is there's nothing to do to be saved. Because of course, Ephesians, what it says, we're all saved by grace through faith and not of your own works, so that no one can boast, etc. It's the
Right.
blood of Jesus. So we
Yes.
don't do anything to be saved. We're saved when we believe in and accept this free gift. So my thought when I'm reading Urantia is that the what I'm taking away so far in my reading is that we are already saved because,
Yes. The
like
moment we accept God.
Jesus is showing the method and the path of salvation,
Right.
and we, as long as we choose that relationship with God and
Yeah.
service of others, we are saved. But is that incorrect to say that we are already saved? We need to be doing these
No,
things?
that's incorrect to say that, but we have to make a conscious decision for that salvation.
But on a continual basis.
Right. Yeah. You
Okay.
have to make that constant decision, that one main decision in your life to follow God in your life, right? Or to become a child of God in your life. You have to want to survive to survive. So that's when it says here, it is realized in the future destiny of endless service of the salvaged sons. If it says the salvaged sons of God, that means there are sons of God that are not what? Salvaged, that are not saved. You see that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, right. So it's a that a teaching real quick that like someone could make it to mansion world number three and just start deciding, I don't care to continue on, and then they're
Yes.
basically done and annihilated.
That's true.
Okay.
True.
That is true because you have to, until you fuse with that father fragment, you can always make a decision not to go on.
That makes sense. I forgot about the fusing part. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank
Yeah,
you.
that's
Yeah.
what gives you immortality. So as long as you continue believing you're a salvaged son of God, that you believe in God by faith, then you are saved, right? The minute you make a conscious decision you don't want to go on anymore, what happens? You lose that salvation. That's why it says here, the endless service of salvaged sons of God. Does
18.
that make sense?
Yeah, but you also, once you fuse with your thought adjuster, which you become part of God,
Yes.
wanting to quit, it's like God being killing suicide, and that will not work.
Will never happen, right?
Yes.
Because
And
once you fuse with God, your thoughts, your divinity goes up, kicks up a letter level because you become part of the divine,
yes.
where before you were not part of the divine. Make sense?
So, Roger,
Okay.
we're considered temporary until we fuse to
Yes.
become permanent.
Right. What? So you could think of yourself as a temporary faith. That's why they call us the faith sons of God, right?
Correct.
They purposely use that word faith sons of God because you aren't 100% sons of God until you fuse, right? Does that make sense? So that's what makes you a faith son of God.
A
But
candidate.
but according to the thought adjuster himself, he considers you a son of God on the moment
Yeah.
you make that decision to become a faith son of God.
1959.
He assumes that you're going to make it all the way up there, right?
Yeah.
They
He's an
call it a
optimist.
betrothal of the thought adjuster. It's kind of like being engaged. Once you've promised to fuse with God, that's the ultimate promise you can make to God, right? And I think we're out of time. I think we better quit on this one because it's 6:54 and we'll go on from here next time.
Good class.
172:8. Is this helping to understand
Yeah.
the kingdom of heaven?
Helping me a ton. I feel bad asking all these questions because I feel like it's
Oh, it's
Urantia
cool.
101, but it's very
No,
helpful.
No, I want you to ask these questions, Andrew.
So
I
it's
really do,
important.
because
I
people
enjoy
that are
it.
listening, they need to hear these questions answered, because most of the people that watch these videos have never even heard of the Urantia book. But get their questions answered gives them the opportunity to go out and start reading the book and finding out these things for themselves, right? So it's a good thing. There's no such thing as a dumb question or too simple. That's not an issue here at all.
Andrew, don't worry. I've got the captured the dumbness.
Need to reshare. I have to find a little box again. Keep moving things around on me. Okay, there we go. All right. Prayer of acceptance. Pam, who's up?
Andrew.
Andrew, you want to
Hey.
read our prayer of acceptance?
Yep. Prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By this same faith, I became a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universe of Nebadon, as Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth, amen.
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 And thanks everybody for coming to see us tonight. Please share this, like it, whatever you do on your platform, and come see us next time, which will be Tuesday, right? We'll continue on with this. All right.
Thank you,
So
Roger.
you're
Thank
welcome.
you.
Love
Yeah,
you
thank
guys.
you.
We'll see you
I
next
love you
time.
guys.
All right.
Love you. Bye.
All right.
Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.